Welcome to Heart of the Psalmist, cultivating the heart of creatives. Now, your host, Sharvis Whitted.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Heart of the Psalmist. This is the show where we're asking God to create in us clean hearts so that we can create for Him. I am your host, Sharvis Whitted. Thanks for stopping by. And for today's show, I'm actually going to play back an interview I did with a very dear friend of mine, Austin Corley. I did this episode in 2018 when I was gearing up to launch the podcast show. There were some difficulties with the audio, so I was going to do the interview with him again, but I went back and listened to it recently. And with my perfectionist lens down that many of us creatives have, I realized the audio wasn't as bad as I initially thought. And more importantly, the content was too good not to share. And since I interviewed Austin Corley, he is now Pastor Austin Corley. He leads a worship ministry here in Central Florida. So without further ado, I want you to join in with my conversation with Pastor Austin Corley. Check it out.
So I'm excited today. We're talking about a topic that is very dear to me. The topic today is building a balanced culture of worship, whether it be with your creative arts team, music ministry team, worship ministry, whatever you call it. Most of those are kind of the same, but it's critical. I've learned in my 30 years of experience. Wow, just dating myself a little bit. But still, it's critical that you have a balanced culture. And to talk about that today, I have a very good friend of mine, actually more than a friend, brother, colleague, known him for a very long time, Mr. Austin Corley. How you doing, Austin?
I'm doing well. I'm so grateful to be on the show today. Appreciate you having me.
Man, we're glad to have you in the studio today. So before we dive into the topic, I just want you to tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey as a psalmist, as a creative. Where did you start and how did you get where you are now?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I grew up in ministry. My mom was pretty intentional on making sure that we grew up understanding the presence of God. And because we had musical ability, we served in music ministry, whether that was singing or musicianship. And the passion came from her actually being sick for a while. There were years of her just having different illnesses, and I would be playing the keyboard, and she wanted me to learn when I was younger. I didn't really want to focus learning, you know, being 8 years old, 9 years old. I don't want to do the reading and sheet music. And so she let me slide out of it for a while. But as I continued to play by ear and do little things, she would always ask me again, hey, you should formally learn how to play because I really believe you have something there and you can hear music. And I didn't really, you know, kind of catch the heart of what she was saying until she told me that it made her feel better. While she was sick, we shared a bed room wall, and I would play different worship music, gospel music, and she said it would make her feel a lot better. And so with that, Big Brother and your father pretty much gave me the right tools to be able to take what I was hearing and formally put it into a more professional base of being able to learn how to play. And so, yeah, he provided the structure that I needed to be able to go into different ministries and provide worship from a music standpoint. And so that started at about 16 years old. So it's been about 17 years.
Wow. So what a great starting point you had. With your parents and, of course, with my father, the 50-plus-year veteran who's taught many musicians how to play. So that was the seedbed that got you going. So, you know, now you did that, and then at some point you actually got into serving in local church. So, you know, what are you doing now? And as far as local church ministry, what capacity are you serving in?
So I'm actively serving as the interim worship director for ministry and also the music director as well. We recently had some transition, so I've stepped into that role from about 16 years old till now. It's been minister of music, music director. The titles have changed, but the functions have pretty much been the same, which is teaching choirs and musicians not only the heart of God, but also being able to be trained musically in the right ways as far as how they practice, the right chord structures, different lanes of what to play in so nobody's crossing over. So that's been my dealings for the last number of years.
Yeah. And I like something you said. You talk about playing in the right lane. So we have, we can just use that analogy and park there for a second. So you have your musical lanes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those are important.
Yeah.
You have your technical lanes, you know, sound. I'm sure you guys are running stems, you know, using Ableton. I know that you do that, you know. So, but I think there's a lane that we often miss, man. I think it's a lane that David understood, and it's the lane of the inner man, the lane of the heart. Can you speak to that for a second? Why is that lane so critical, the lane of the heart, from your experience and what you've seen?
Well, I mean, in ministry, it takes balance, right? So, so much is to do with the visual of worship, and that's usually the thing that you see outwardly.
Yeah.
But oftentimes, we can sometimes put a facade up to where what we do with skill outwardly is the thing that people will be attracted to and catch, but not have anything inwardly that's backing that up. And so I've just learned from my experience that when you spent private time with God, then the thing that you deliver on a stage or on an altar or in a performance or even preaching the message or praying a prayer in public, it comes from a place of a trueness of relationship, and it's difficult to mock the thing that you haven't lived. Oftentimes, once it's tested, the trueness of it will be reflected. So, the illusion of worship, especially in the northern, in the western culture, has been based on the visual aspect of music. And if you're doing worship music right, you're living a lifestyle of it. And that's in relation to literally how you're connecting with God on a one-on-one, and then how you do that with your team. And this is before you even get to a service. And then how that relates to the way you practice. I was listening to a different worship minister, and he was saying that they practice the presence of God. And so there's always the attention of when we rehearse, of when we are practicing or focusing, that the presence of God is there and we're doing everything in his midst. And if we're doing that outside of the platform, then it's easier for the thing that we do on a Sunday or a Wednesday or any midweek service to be the true essence of the fruit of our relationship with God.
Yeah, I like that. So it sounds like if I could capture that and summarize that, you're talking about really two stages that have to have continuity and have to be equal. There is the private stage.
Yeah.
Then there is the public stage.
Yeah.
And I think what you're identifying is there's often a disconnect between the public stage, that is Sunday morning, whatever platform God has graced us to have. Then there's a private stage, and that registers with me very well, because when I look at David, for example, definitely the most famous psalmist in the Bible. When we think of being a psalmist in the Bible, people think of David, maybe Asaph too, but David first, very creative guy. But, you know, Austin, the first thing that God identifies about him, not people, and this is critical, it is this guy has the heart that's after my own heart.
Mm-hmm.
And long before we see David on the stage with Goliath, long before we see him being anointed to be Israel's next king by Samuel, God makes a statement about him. And it had to be based on something private. I mean, he was a shepherd. Nobody knew him but his parents. I mean, goodness, when Samuel came to anoint the next king, they didn't even bring him. They left him out there with the sheep.
Yeah.
You know, but that private time that he had with those sheep, that was his private stage.
Yeah.
So I love what you said there. So let's take this a step further now, because I think sometimes, let's say I have the private stage, or maybe I don't have that, and then I get into a corporate context of worship, and I'm in a worship ministry, and I need to have that balance there also. So can we begin to speak to that? You know, how can we begin to make sure that our local worship and creative arts ministries strike the same balance where even though we're serving on a public stage, we're still shaping a private commitment also on the private stage? So what are some of the things that we can do, or maybe speak to why that's important in the first place?
Yeah, so we encourage different devotionals, the content God is vast. God is huge. And sometimes we can be so specific that we end up missing being able to get the volunteer or those who are participating just involved in a deeper way. And so we first start out by just asking them, hey, get involved with the Word of God. Sometimes it starts with just reading scripture. Well, I don't know where to start. Just read. Well, I don't know if this is this supposed to be based on where the church is. Just read. Oftentimes the issue isn't what to read. They haven't read.
Just read.
How do you have a relationship with God without knowing the Word of God? Yeah. This is Him in the Word being expressed. And so we first encourage devotionals, and we do them at the end of our choir rehearsals with the different small groups that we have throughout our music ministry, so that we're modeling a thing that's not complicated for them to be able to do privately. And so it's as simple as taking a scripture, sometimes a favorite scripture, sometimes one of the ones from a daily Bible app that is providing the one for that day. And then you're able to pretty much in your own life articulate, what does this mean to you? How is this scripture relatable to you? And as you continue to do that and invest in that on a week-to-week basis, the standard is being set that before we even start a rehearsal or before we release you to be able to do something on a platform, we're asking you to first consult, where are you with your relationship with God? What are you learning about Him? What is He showing you about you in the frailties of who you are and how dependent we are on Him? Or even in the way that He has created us to be righteous, when we might be condemning ourselves, thinking we're not worthy for the platform. But we're doing that as a model before we even get to the place that we're practicing on a stage. And yes, it's absolutely important. And it's different demographics, different cultures. Sometimes there are just different ways of how we can be susceptible to certain things that we fall to. And the enemy knows those things that can kind of tease us or tempt us in the right way. And so I think that there are ways of how to do that in different churches. Every way won't be the same for each church. But you do want to be intentional on setting an atmosphere in your rehearsals, setting an atmosphere in your one-on-one conversations with your members or those who are participating, so that they don't get this theme of we want production first. If there's going to be any fruit that we're asked for first, we're hoping that it's the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life being fulfilled, and then you being able to specifically incorporate that in this art or in this gifting or in this creative way as far as an expression. But there's no confusion that our expression of worship should be indicative of our lifestyle of worship and not the other way around.
Yeah. Wow. So again, the same themes being reiterated, that you guys are making a very conscious effort, and it sounds like you're spearheading that, you know, taking a leadership role of making sure that we have this clear balance. And I like what you're saying. You didn't say once at all that the music isn't important, because I think we have to be careful. We don't want to not feed the musical side or the creative side.
Absolutely.
We don't want to lose the technical proficiency. We want to do those things, but what we also don't want is to have those things and to not be feeding the spiritual person. Now, because you are a leader, and I lead worship ministry as well, right. You know, I think we both have learned that our role in doing this is critical. Can you speak to a moment of the impact of a music ministry, a worship ministry, creative arts ministry leader taking that role, taking that stand? How crucial is that to making that a part of your culture?
Yeah, I think the greatest tool, or one of the greatest ones that we have, both individually as people of God and also as leaders, is this power and responsibility of stewardship. We're stewards of our gifting. We're stewards of how much we grow in our relationship with God, all these things that He's given us. And so the higher you go as a leader in ministry, the more you're responsible for stewarding. And so we're not only stewarding, to your point, we're not only stewarding the way that we're helping our members and our other leaders grow spiritually, but we're also stewarding the excellence that we put out musically. And so, yes, it's absolutely important that all of our leaders, first as a leader, you train other leaders, because clearly we can't do all this by ourselves. We're always as good as the team that we have around us. And we see that model with Jesus. He had 12, and even in his most intimate setting, he had three. Mm-hmm. And even in the three, when they were asleep, he was still in relationship with God the Father, praying to him about, you know, this cup passing from him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So it's important with teams and relationships that you're building leaders around you so that you're not bearing this burden by yourself, but that those who are participating always have a model to look up to. They always have a standard to look up to. I'm a reflection of our pastor. Our pastor is a reflection of Jesus Christ being the head of our church and Jesus Christ being a reflection of God the Father. And so it's difficult for your members and those who are participating to be true or invigorated in the thing that is happening in service or even behind the scenes if they don't see you living it behind the scenes. And so I'm pretty transparent about my life. Even the way we started this podcast, it's about, you know, relationships.
That's true.
What was happening behind the scenes in the way God was grooming me to even be a part of worship ministry. So I don't have an ego of a desire of personal gain in music relationship because I didn't get into this because of my love for it. I got into it because my mom showed me that God could put something in me to provide healing for a room or for a person. And that was a one-to-one connection, not a stage with thousands of people. And so if I can live that behind the scenes and be true to that and continue to grow in my relationship with God, modeling that as a leader, then I believe God is looking for those type of people to exalt.
That's incredible. And again, we keep going back to this same pattern of private public.
Yeah.
Private public. And I like how you did allude, how we started this podcast interview to where it was your personal life.
Yeah.
That led you to using what God did to you privately in a public setting.
Yeah.
So we're winding up on our time here a little bit. Great conversation. So before we close out, I just want you to give some final tips to the creative people who are serving, because we've addressed the leaders. So now let's just talk about those creative people, because I just could imagine, and we just know this isn't the easy thing to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, what are just maybe a few tips, you know, I'm not going to give you a number, just a few tips that you can give, some simple practical things that can help creative people who are serving, who have this passion and this love for music that they don't have to fight to maintain. But when it comes to the spiritual life, we have this flesh inside of us, the draw of the world, all these other things that are going to pull at us harder to mature and to feed our spirit, man. So what are some simple practical things that a musician, a singer can do to make sure that they are in their private life maintaining that balance?
That's a great question. I don't know how many tips I'd be able to give, but just kind of speaking freely. It's absolutely important that both models, both sides of the spectrum is happening in a person's life where you're doing this practical side of studying the Word of God, of learning your gift, of practicing musically, whether that be vocally or an instrument, and also your prayer life being important to the way that you are portraying this trueness of what God has done in your life. I would also say that one of the more simple ways of how I kind of assess my life is by looking at my story. And it's a story that isn't easy. It has its good, it has its bad. But on the timeline of that story, and I believe that story ends with me being in heaven with God, you want to see where you are. And I feel like gauging where you are in your story will help you know if you're ready. Sometimes we don't even ask that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't ask God, is this the time or what do you want of me? We know we're good musically. We know we're good vocally. We believe we have a good relationship with God. And then we say green light. But when you look at your story of where you are in your life, I believe that helps assess or gauge, is this the right time? Because maybe you'll sense, well, I might be at my best or at my peak musically, but I know I can kind of go deeper with my relationship with God or my prayer life, or my life might be chaotic with family and I know this is a busy time, and so I might not have spent that personal time with him in this season in a way that I should, but I got opportunities to come and they all depend on my musicality. You might want to assess where your story is in that moment. And it can be vice versa, that you're at an all-time just closeness with Christ and you don't feel qualified on the music side, or you don't feel qualified on this gifting side of things. And sometimes God will propel you in that moment because of where you are one-to-one with Him, that you'll become more ready and more intentional on the musicality side, because now He's ready to push you forward.
Awesome. So whichever side you're stronger on, it's always about finding that balance.
Absolutely.
We're out of time. Awesome. Thank you again. I'm sure our listeners are going to be the better for this conversation, and we hope to have you back soon in the future, my
brother. Thank you, sir. Look forward to it.
Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed today's conversation with Pastor Austin Corley. Having a healthy culture is very important, and I hope that something you heard today blessed you and encouraged you. If you are liking what you're hearing, please share us on your social media platform and go to iTunes and leave us a review. And please rate the show. That will help more people be blessed by Heart of the Psalmist, same way that you have been. But until next time, God bless you. Keep your heart towards God, and we'll talk to you soon. Take care.